we're joined in the studio now by Joe Pollock. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Thanks for being here tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure again.
Did you get a little wet getting here?
I did.
Yeah.
It's been pouring off and on all day.
I guess so. So you brought your guitar in, and we want to hear some music from you. But first, you're playing in a few different places around town this weekend.
Yeah, tonight I'm going to be playing at, is it Breakers in Bluefin Bay? I don't know if they call it Breakers anymore. and then tomorrow morning, I'm going to play at the Farmer's Market.
Okay, and do they have a cover for you?
Well, if it's not raining... If it's raining, I'll be playing in my living room.
And broadcasting it somehow to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Well, you've been playing around town for quite a bit, and I saw that you you handed Matthew a CD. Is this one of your more recent ones?
Yeah, I had them produced last year. It says 2010 on it, but it's just it took me a couple of years to get up the money to have them made. So it's actually a couple of years since I've recorded it. It's called Power of Place.
Perfect.
And it's the Boundary Waters collection as told by the never-ending song.
Right.
And so, what's the never-ending song?
It's the song that never ends. It's like, you know, if you take your, you know, I'm a kind of a recording fanatic, and I like to get recordings of nature, you know, birds especially, but anything that's like music, whether it's a running stream or Lake Superior, it's all music, and it never stops playing. The only thing is that if you know, record it closer to town, you get all sorts of booming noises and roaring noises. So I go into the Boundary Waters because there, generally, you get long periods of time where you don't hear any motors or anything, and you can actually, you know, hear uninterrupted nature sounds, which is, you know, actually pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
And there's not too many places around. We're lucky here in this county to have a great big playground out there where we can get stuff like that. And so they're my backup band on this album. It's just me and guitar, or me playing piano, and then the birds and other noises accompany me. And from hundreds and hundreds of nature tracks, I tried to select one or two tracks, you know, that really fit each song.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of selected my backup band.
That's wonderful. So that was going to be my next question, is so that did you have a song in mind and choose the nature sound to go with it, or did the nature sound inspire songs?
On this particular one, I had the song, and then I picked the nature sounds. And then on this one, which I'm going to save this for another trip because there's just too much to talk about. But I've done the opposite. I've taken a nature track and let it inspire music as well.
Oh, that's great. How fun. Could you play us one of those or
sure.
something?
Yeah, I would love to.
That'd be great. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this one is the second song on the Power of Place recording. It's called The World of Real Believe. And on this one, I picked a robin that was singing on, I think, Lake 2. The track. It was such a wonderful track, and I was like just 20 feet away from it getting a really nice stereo recording, and it just seems to go well with the track. You won't hear the robin on this one. Maybe later.
Okay, Joe Pollock.
Does Daddy hear you crying all day long? Dry your eyes and rest a while, tell me what is wrong. She sang for me a story of a dragon and a child. Don't let him steal your soul away, promise you'll always come back to play. You'll never see a Saturday, little Jackie Paper goes away. bed while Charlotte's Web is playing on TV. Well, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer led the way on Christmas Eve. And Martin's Wars and Hate It Said are all washed to the sea. All in the faith of a mustard seed, all in the world of real belief. All if we may erase the day when little Jackie Paper went away. Mommy dear, could I lend an ear to your wisdom far beyond? Drop this little pebble's fear into a quiet pond. Wherever tiny voices splash, the rings go on and on. If nobody seems to hear a word, eventually you can rest assured they hear it when they grieve a day when little Jackie Paper went away. I fear Mommy dear is dying in her sleep. Go to the Garden of Eden near, wherever that may be, and sing for her the healing songs and pray her soul to keep. When Adam and Eve decided to leave and ran from the land of real belief, they knew that they would rue the day when little Jack Paper went away.
That was Joe Pollack here on the Roadhouse with World of Real Believe. That was beautiful, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. And you had a little real-time thunder accompaniment. I don't know if you could hear that.
No, I couldn't hear it. My mic is too loud.
So, I had a question. I was looking at your CD cover a little bit while you were playing, and you thank Tom Brown Jr. and the Tracker Friends, and I was wondering if you could just explain a little bit about that world and and that influence on you, if you would.
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, Tom Brown Jr. came out with a book in 1978. It was a bestseller. Can't remember if it was number one bestseller, but Reader's Digest picked up on it, and I was a teenager at the time. Read the article in Reader's Digest, and then my mom checked out the book from the library. Anyway, it turned, and he's you know, teaches nature survival, nature observation, and all sort, you know, medicinal plants, all kinds of nature stuff. And so I went to the school for the first time, I think, in 1982, and I still go. I mean, I've got a class scheduled coming up here. It's just a great school. You know, you learn how to understand like what nature is saying. Like if you drop a pebble into a clear pond, you see ripples go out. Well, the same happens if a person walks through the forest. It sends out ripples, just like, you know, the animals respond. So if you can read that, just like some people can read their dog, it's like the dog's bark. Oh, yeah, that's how he barks when a moose is around. Well, that's how he barks when it's a squirrel. That's a concentric ring. So, you know, reading the birds, you know, that's the birds on them, and being able to read those concentric rings makes your wilderness experience more like reading a book than just sort of like gazing in wonder, but not knowing what's actually happening out there. So it turns nature into a like a university.
Yeah, well said. So you've been taking classes there for 30 years. Am I doing the math
31
right?
31 years, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I hate to get, I hope this isn't too off the track, but it's so interesting.
It is interesting.
What kinds of, can you give some examples of what kinds of classes?
In the first class I ever took, you know, we learned bow drill fires, for instance, making shelters out of leaves. You know, you basically, you need to replace your matches. You need to replace your, be able to replace your sleeping bag in a survival situation. You need to be able to get pure water, and ultimately you need to get food. And so in that first class, we kind of concentrated on those four areas. And like the first day, we learned to make fire without matches. And I've been doing that ever since. You know, it's actually become, you know, not too difficult. And so the first class is that. And, you know, some of the more advanced classes like now are just like the reading the intricacies of concentric rings in nature. And in human thought, you know, a person who is angry gives off a different concentric ring than somebody who's loving. And actually, there are very easy ways to learn that.
Some are more pleasant than others.
And it's a survival skill, you know. And so it's just a really great school.
That sounds very interesting. So when you said on that liner note that Tom Brown Jr. encouraged you to, about a sense of place, can you talk a little bit about that?
He specifically asked me to do it. He asked me for a song called The Power of Place, because it was a concept that he was teaching at the time. And I was sort of like, oh boy, that's a compliment. I think I'll do a whole album, you know. But the, you know, and the power of place is like, I think we all feel it. Like if you walk into a cathedral where there's been all this prayer, there's a feel to it. And it's the same if you go into a bad place where, you know, like in the, where the Civil War occurred, for instance, people are still, and as people who don't even know about it say, oh my God, I saw this. That's the power of place. That place contains that power. And each of us individually, like where we grow up, if we return to our childhood home, it can be sort of like intense, you know. It's not just memories, but the places actually hold energy. It's that concept that he wanted me to write about. And, you know, I could talk for an hour about it. you know, why, but to me, our auditory sense is really gives us, just like smell, a sense of place. And, you know, for instance, where birds are singing will can tell you whether this is a swampy area, whether I'm there or not. If I hear a recording, you can kind of tell what kind of area you're in. And so they lent themselves really well to the concept of the power of place.
So what did he think of you of doing an entire album?
Tom is a unique individual. So the fact that he didn't say he didn't like it, he sells them at his school store. And so that's a supreme compliment. But what he really complimented me on was the liner notes, because I write about there in the liner notes about it. So some experiences I've had when I've been in the Boundary Waters for a week or two that are, you know, like I would be hearing music and I would realizing it wasn't any one, there was no thing that was making the music. In fact, the first time it happened, I thought it was somebody playing fiddle in the Boundary Waters. And it was like 4 a.m., maybe 4:30. This went on for the longest time. And, you know, I was just sort of waking up and drifting. And eventually I realized that it was the combined, all of the birds combined were making like a harmonic melody that, and I could switch from being able to hear it to not being able to. And long story short, I realized that my songwriting, a lot of times, I'm hearing those harmonic melodies. So another thing that I talk about in the liner notes is that when I would find a nature track that fit with the song, it was really uncanny how the rest of the track fit with the song, like the punctuation. It was almost like we knew each other's songs. And so that was quite an experience to not feel so all alone, yeah. You know, like, you know, so I think my songwriting comes from those harmonic melodies that are sort of drifting around in the world. Am I going to get put away for this?
No.
it's part of being an artist.
I don't think so. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Joe Pollock. He's a Cook County songwriter and musician who is kind enough to stop by the studio tonight with his guitar. Would you be willing to play another song or two from that CD?
Yeah, I'd really love to.
A wonderful concept.
Yeah, I'd love to. In the writing of it, I have a lot of friends at the Tracker School, and I sent out a, you know, request for stories that they might have about the power of place, and I got several replies. So I've got help, not with the specific lyrics, but with the stories that I wrote about. And this particular one, this friend of mine took a solo backpacking trip in Alaska, and she got dropped off by a plane, you know, and then was getting picked up somewhere else, and she had 45 days to get from point A to point B. And so she wrote about that and how intense it was to be in the Arctic Brooks Range and suddenly all alone. And so this one's called The Power of the Arctic Brooks Range.
Okay, Joe Pollock.
Talking about the Arctic Brooks Range, gonna change your way of thinking or go insane. They dropped me out of that small bush plane for 45 days to make my way or die trying in the Arctic Brooks Range. First thing I noticed was a deep low hum. All day long, where is it coming from? It's from the rivers and the tundra and the gravel shelf and the power emanating from the air itself. It was the energy of the earth's slow hum. The power of place took me by surprise. The first night out I was terrorized. The intensity and isolation, the suffocating mind seemed to crush and gag. Panicking and clawing in my sleeping bag, screaming for eternity. A voice repeating in my head, surrender to the mother wasn't what it said. Surrender, Kelly, just let go. How I did it, I don't know, but I did. I surrendered to her. In the blink of an eye, the scene changed suddenly. Like my own mother had just given birth to me. Held by her and comforted, the valley and the mountains like a cradle bed. I'm a talking about a change of scene. Like placing through a new threshold, left behind the me of old, and beamed me to a different world. The animals and plants were family, and everything around was guiding me. I've never feared her again. Where the power came from the earth itself, and it changed any time I moved somewhere else. I came to places beautiful, why I felt anxious, I didn't know they were places of ancient battles. There was a singing on the wind. The voices, sometimes women, sometimes men. All day long it would never end. Couldn't understand the language, but there were spirits there singing on the wind. Sometimes I heard symphonies and the waters there in front of me. I really wished I could record. And walking down the last valley side, the music grew fainter then slowly died until I could hear no more. Talking about the Arctic Brooks Range, the power of that place gonna cause a change. They spit me out of that small boy's plane. I died and then was born again there in the Arctic Brooks Range, in the power of the Arctic Brooks Range.
That's lovely. Joe Pollack here on WTIP.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, you had mentioned on this particular one, I think on your other one too, that not only, I mean, you're always playing the guitar and things, but you've branched into playing the piano some.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, with a piano in the house and not having a guitar. And so I didn't play much guitar until I was in my 20s, really. And so I always had a piano around the house and, you know, I would hear melodies in my head, you know, probably those melodies, harmonics drifting from the birds or something, and so I've always written songs, you know, and eventually a lot of those they became guitar songs, and I, you know, sing them. A lot of the songs that I play now at my gigs I wrote in the 70s and 80s, you know, when I was young, and so yeah, and I've gotten a little bit back into it because with bird voices, you know, especially on this album, which this is for the next show. But there's several piano pieces on that one too,
yes.
And the piano really lends itself to me to you know, more of a birdie boy. A flute would be even better, I guess. But the piano works really well, and I love just playing drifting kind of melodies on the piano.
So the song you just shared with us about the Arctic Brooks Range, what nature sound is behind that on the album?
Trumpeter swans.
Oh.
There's some trumpeter swans that have been nesting in the Boundary Waters, and I hadn't seen them until it was 2010. I think I recorded them, and my friend and I canoed into I think it was Rice Lake, on the Isabella River, and it was kind of getting stormy, and they were going off, you know, on the other end of the lake is like a mile around this lake. And we were setting up camp, and I was like, man, I sure would like to record those. And I kid you not, they, from across the lake, they swam to, from here to the sidewalk, what is that, about 30 yards or something? Mm-hmm. They swam across the lake and sat there and started doing their honking. I don't know if they were disturbed by us or if they heard me thinking, hey, I could really like to record your voices, you know, and they're like, us? Okay. And so...
that's really cool.
So, yeah, and plus... They also exist in the Arctic Brooks Range, so I wanted to pick something that actually is there. They have such bird life up there, though I don't know if my friend actually heard trumpeter swans or not, but it seemed to fit the song.
Do you have special recording equipment that you use for this?
I'm trying to improve it. You know, the recorder itself was like, you know, $600, and the mic I've got was another $600. So it's not high end. In fact, if you go to the high end magazines, it's called low end equipment. Hmm. But it's definitely a lot better than, you know, your basic tape recorder. You know, there's a lot less noise, background noise. Basically, it's what you want. You want the signal to noise ratio to be as low as possible, just like in all electronics. And so that's basically what you're paying for, is less and less of a signal to noise ratio.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I like recording them in stereo, you know, so you get that effect of when a duck flies over, there's, you know, and it goes by, and on headphones, it's pretty cool.
Do you ever record ice sounds?
I did this year for the first time up on the Temperance River one day when the sun was melting the ice river, and the river had gone down since, so there was this film of ice with nothing under it, and as the sun hit it, it just started breaking and cracking. But I'd like to do some ice on the lake here sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Could we ask you for one more?
I'd love to.
That would be great. And tell us a little bit about it, please.
Yeah, okay. This one is called, it might be a 6-minute song.
Great,
is that going to be okay?
No, that's good.
Let's see. What is this called? Oh, it's called I Wish I Knew.
Okay.
And my accompaniment that I picked for this one is very much White-Throat Sparrow. It was one that just seemed to lend itself to it. And it's funny, I wrote the word to this song on my way back from the tracker school, must have been like 10 years ago, in the Newark International Airport, because I had to stay there overnight to get a reduced flight rate, and I wasn't going to pay for a motel. So, and the music was written probably in a cabin on Lake Superior somewhere. I wish I knew how to fly away from all the great commotion, like a bird up in the sky, high above the great blue ocean. I'd spread my wings around the world and feel the universe within me. I'd be so big, then I'd fall away to nothing. I wish I knew how to fly. I wish I knew how to live, how to wake up in the morning when the sun comes shining in, and just be happy with the dawning, like a creature roaming wild, drinking the wonders all around me. And I would feel and be one with all creation. I wish I knew how to live. I wish I knew how to love everything that passed before me, like the sunshine from above. Give them life and give them glory, and I would never say goodbye, for all I touched would never leave me. And when I love, I know I touch forever. I wish I knew how to love. I wish I knew how to give away my favorite possessions and feel the world come rushing in, wash away all my obsessions. And any time I had the chance, I'd have the children gather round me, and I would teach them to stay that way forever. I wish I knew
how to give. I wish I knew how to heal every rock and every flower from all the pain they've had to feel. Wish I'd surrender to that power, and with my wings around the world, one by one I'd heal her children. For that I'd gladly pass away forever. I wish I knew how to heal.
Wish I knew.
That's beautiful. Nice. Joe Pollack here on WTIP. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And if anybody wants to get any of this stuff, they can go to joepollack.com.
Okay, that's, thank you. And you're playing this evening at Bluefin at 8 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
So that's where I'm headed.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you'll come back again and talk about that other CD.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Ann, and thanks, Matthew.
Great. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Coming in.